Hello, and welcome to the Women's Hour. I'm Kelly Pyle, your Sun Sounds of Arizona and volunteer broadcaster. Today's show features articles from the January 12th edition of People Magazine, as well as Oprah Daily. The articles I'm sharing today include Oprah, How GLP-1s Changed Her Life, Feeling Anxious and Overwhelmed, Mind Traps May Be to Blame, and How We All Lost 100 Pounds. Oprah, How GLP-1s Changed Her Life. I've never felt stronger. As she turned 72, feeling more vibrant than I've ever been, the icon says of her lifelong battle with weight, "I'm free." And she has a message for others with obesity. It's not your fault. By Eileen Finan. Photographs by Jamie Green. This is a People Magazine exclusive. Makeup free and still in loungewear for a morning Zoom call from her hotel room in Australia, Oprah Winfrey is describing her recently consumed breakfast. "I've just had a croissant, and I ate the full thing." Not long ago, a buttery indulgence would have been an all-day obsession, she says. I would have been thinking, how many calories in that croissant? How long is it going to take me to work it off? If I have the croissant, I won't be able to have dinner. I'd still be thinking about that damn croissant. This morning, however, she is blissfully unbothered. "I felt nothing. The only thought was, I need to clean up these crumbs." The insignificance of her breakfast is a monumental shift for Winfrey, who 2.5 years ago started using a GLP-1 weight loss medication. She began taking the drug following an aha moment of understanding that she suffers from obesity and that she can't fight it without help. "I thought it was about discipline and willpower, but I stopped blaming myself," says Winfrey, who shares her journey in a new book with obesity expert Dr. Anaya Jastreboff. "Enough, Your Health, Your Weight, and What It's Like to Be Free," out January 13th. "I feel more alive and more vibrant than I've ever been." Her new outlook and the medication has utterly transformed her life, she says. As she approaches her 72nd birthday on January 29th, Winfrey has gone from someone who saw exercise as punishment to happily side planking and deadlifting. She's also stopped drinking alcohol. "I could outdrink everyone at the table," and is amazed that she's satisfied after she eats. "I'm not constantly punishing myself," she says. "I hardly recognize the woman I've become, but she's a happy woman." Winfrey's weight has been the subject of public curiosity and tabloid fodder for more than 4 decades, ever since she starred in 1985's The Color Purple and took her eponymous talk show into national syndication the following year. Some of the cruelest headlines are still fresh in her mind. "Oprah, fatter than ever." "Oprah warned, diet or die." Her ups and downs were a regular punchline on late-night talk shows, starting with her first appearance on The Tonight Show in 1985, when she was goaded into agreeing to lose 15 pounds by host Joan Rivers. As she built a media empire and rose to one-name star status, Winfrey remained painfully aware there was one aspect of her life that seemed out of control. "I've always been confident in whatever I was doing, but I was at the same time disappointed in my overweight body," she says. "Was I embarrassed by it? Yes. Was I disappointed in myself for continuing to fail? Yes, every single time. I felt it was my fault. And failure, she writes, felt doubly shameful because I have access to so much. Chefs and trainers and the healthiest of foods. At the same time, she was navigating the public humiliation. She was also contributing to the culture of weight shaming, she now admits. She spent 4 months in 1988 eating no solid food and ingesting shakes before appearing on our show, pulling a wagon filled with 67 pounds of fat to demonstrate how much she lost. All to prove I could get back into a pair of size 10 Calvin Klein jeans, she writes. And she dutifully dropped 20 pounds when Vogue editor Anna Wintour suggested doing so before posing for the cover in 1998. I was just doing what the rest of the world was doing, she says. I thought I had proven that I had willpower. No matter what diet or exercise routine Winfrey took on, her body seemed to want to fight back, and her weight would stubbornly return to 211 pounds, a concept her co-author, Dr. Jastreboff, calls your body's enough point, a set weight your body maintains based on environment and genetics. Knee surgery in 2021 allowed her to get back on her feet without pain, and she began hiking daily and eating a single midday meal. But even after taking on 10-mile hikes, she discovered she'd gained 8 pounds. I couldn't believe it. My body said, "We trying to get back to that 211, girl. We're trying to get you." Over the years, Winfrey tried to embrace her bigger body. I wanted to be one of those people who could be at peace with myself being overweight, she says. But everything in my life, in the culture, in society, in my brain, was telling me the opposite. You have failed because you have not conquered this thing. And she says, I was not healthy at 211 pounds. A lot of people tell me they can be overweight and healthy. I was not. I was pre-diabetic and my cholesterol numbers were high. When Winfrey hosted a special on obesity in 2023 with experts in the field, she had an epiphany. For years, I avoided the word obesity. It connoted out of control, she says. But I came to understand that overeating doesn't cause obesity. Obesity causes overeating. And that's the most mind-blowing, freeing thing I've experienced as an adult. She'd heard about GLP-1 medications for a few years earlier, but dismissed them, still believing that her weight was my responsibility to fix. But the revelation that obesity is a disease changed her mind. Having a medical solution felt like a relief, a gift, Winfrey told People in 2023 when she first announced she was taking the drugs. Despite that, only months after she started the injections, she decided to stop on her 70th birthday in January 2024. She continued to eat healthy and work out, and I tried to beat the medication, she says. I said, I'm going to see if the science is right. I want to see if I can do without it. Everybody was saying if you get off the medication, you're going to immediately put the weight back on. It wasn't immediate, but over the 12 months she went without the shots, she put on 20 pounds. I've proven to myself I need it. It's going to be a lifetime thing, Winfrey typically takes her shots weekly, but sometimes I can go 10 or 12 days because I still feel the effects of the week before, she says. Side effects have been minimal. I had some digestion issues, so I have to drink enough water, and I have to take magnesium, she says. You need to start slow and gradual. If you start by taking too much at one time, you have more of a chance of messing yourself up. The drugs have helped keep her weight off, but she says it's now about more than the number. In years past, she has said her goal was 160 pounds. But she declines to share her current weight. The absence of food noise has given me a quiet strength that comes with everything I do. Everything is just calmer and stronger. It's been such an important life change for her that she has been paying out of her own pocket for GLP-1 medication for several acquaintances who couldn't otherwise afford it. If you have obesity in your gene pool, I want people to know it's not your fault, Winfrey says. I want people to have the information, whatever you choose to do with it, whether you get the medications or whether you want to keep dieting. Her own relationships, including with her longtime partner, Stedman Graham, 74, who's been nothing but supportive no matter what her weight, have improved as well. I feel like I have more to give to everybody. I'm just more open to all. Another unexpected effect of the medication, an indifference to alcohol. I was a big fan of tequila. I literally had 17 shots one night, she says. I haven't had a drink in years. The fact that I no longer even have a desire for it is pretty amazing. She's also had a change of heart about exercise. She works out 6 days a week for about 2 hours, hiking or doing cardio or resistance training. I don't recognize the person who feels sluggish when she doesn't work out, she says. Her hairstylist of more than a decade, Nicole Mangrum, agrees. When I come in the mornings to start her hair, she's already on the treadmill. She's dedicated to her health. She's looking better than she's ever looked and more confident. It's magnetic. That's especially evident in her newfound comfort in having fun with fashion, Mangrum says. When she goes shopping, she'll come back and do a little fashion show for us. On her recent trip to Australia, her stylist suggested she wear only Australian designers. The thought of that would have sent me into a shame spiral 10 years ago, Winfrey says. Nothing could fit, and I would have to get myself measured. I would not be able to pull clothes off the rack and wear them. For this trip, dressing was a delight. When Winfrey comes across photos of herself over the years at sizes big and small, she's immediately transported. I can tell you in any picture that pops up what was going on with my weight. It's all about the weight for me. But even with what she knows about obesity, she says she wouldn't change a thing about her past. There's a wonderful African-American spiritual that Maya Angelou used to sing. I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now, she says. In spite of the shaming and blaming myself, I wouldn't take nothing for the journey. Whatever was happening needed to happen to get me to this point. And I rejoice at feeling liberated from the struggle because I had a real public struggle and I am healthier now. A lifetime struggle. Early years. Winfrey says she became conscious of her size as a teen when her dad told her, "You're always going to be big." The Tonight Show. During Winfrey's first appearance in 1985, guest host Joan Rivers told her, "You're a pretty girl and you're single. You must lose the weight." The Color Purple. "The only time I've ever been comfortable carrying the weight was when it was her character Sophia's to carry and not mine." Mike Tyson fight. At the 1988 bout, she realized she weighed the same as Tyson, 218 pounds. "I felt sorry for Stedman," she writes, her longtime partner. Wagon of Fat. On her show in 1988, Winfrey wheeled out 67 pounds of fat, the amount she lost on an all-liquid diet. "One of my biggest regrets," she says. 1992 Daytime Emmys. Winfrey was so embarrassed by her weight, her heaviest, at 237 pounds, she hoped she didn't win so she didn't have to go in front of the crowd. 1994 Marathon. At 40, Winfrey says she was the fittest she had been up to at that point. She ran her first and only marathon, finishing in 4 hours, 29 minutes, and 15 seconds. Cover Confession. In 2009, Winfrey, at 200 pounds, posed next to her 2005 thinner self at 160 pounds. "I thought, if I say it myself, then other people can't say it." Oprah calls her new book a public service, spreading the word on obesity. In sharing her personal story, Oprah is giving people with obesity a voice, says Dr. Anaya Jastreboff, director of the Yale Obesity Research Center, and Winfrey's co-writer on their new book, which explores the science of obesity and GLP-1s. Jastreboff urges greater compassion. "We do not blame people for having diabetes or high blood pressure. Obesity is no different. It is a treatable chronic disease. Obesity is a result of our body's survival system operating in a world of abundance. Our biology is incredible, but it evolved in an environment of scarcity. Our bodies figured out eons ago we had to store energy, and the most efficient way to store that is as fat. So fat is a very good thing for survival. But our modern world, with ultra-processed food, lack of sleep and activity, and high stress, promotes fat storage. Medications like GLP-1s work by mimicking natural hormones, telling your brain you're full and slowing digestion. But because there's not one type of obesity, different medications will be right for different people. And medications are not right for everybody. Doctors need a better toolbox of treatment options, she says. There are 200 medications for high blood pressure. We'd like to give our patients with obesity that choice. Help seems to be on the horizon. Jastreboff says there are currently more than 100 weight loss medications in early development. Her healthy routine. "She's absolutely leading the pack," says her hairstylist Mangrum of Hiking with Winfrey. "When she traveled, she used to scout out restaurants. Now, I get pictures of what the gym is going to look like before I get there. My goal next year is to do pull-ups. I've not yet been able to do more than one of those, but I'll get there." You have been listening to a People Magazine exclusive. Oprah, how GLP-1s changed her life. I've never felt stronger. Feeling anxious and overwhelmed? These mental traps may be to blame. Thankfully, there are ways to diffuse them. Step 1, don't always believe yourself. Step 2, take a step back. By John Rosenberg, published November 25th, 2025. This is from Oprah Daily. Our brains generate thoughts from the moment we wake until we drift to sleep. Neuroscientists estimate that we experience over 6,000 thoughts each day that flow in clusters. Using advanced brain imaging, researchers have coined the term thought worms to describe the trails of neural activity that trace how one thought twists into the next. Most of these thought worms pass unnoticed and flicker at the edges of our awareness. But some take hold and influence our emotions, sensations, actions, beliefs, and even our sense of identity. They become narratives that feel personal because they are tinted by our unique memories. As these thought worms burrow, we tend to believe they reflect reality. The catch is that our brains often lie, distort, and embellish, because the mind's primary job is not to make us happy, but to keep us alive. To this end, the brain takes shortcuts as it scans for danger and fills in gaps. In pursuit of safety, it leans toward the negative, focusing on what could go wrong and interpreting ambiguity as threat. This negativity bias has been crucial for human survival over the course of evolution, but it can also tether us to survival mode and keep us thriving. In survival mode, the brain's focus narrows. It becomes hypervigilant and attuned to immediate threats, whether real or imagined. This is a feature, not a bug. The challenge is that the brain sometimes struggles to distinguish between actual danger and perceived threats. Our brains take natural shortcuts for quick decision making. Some of these shortcuts distort the narratives we create about ourselves so predictably that psychologists call them thinking traps. Thinking traps often work without our conscious awareness. Before we realize it, they make minor challenges feel like insurmountable obstacles. Below, let's explore 4 of the most common thinking traps and the ways they color our thoughts. Catastrophizing, imagining the worst. This involves taking a minor setback and inflating it into a full-blown disaster. It's like looking at a small crack in a windshield and convincing ourselves that the entire car is about to fall apart. Instead of seeing manageable imperfections, the brain projects worst-case scenarios. Research shows that catastrophizing leads to an amplified perception of pain and exaggerated stress responses, and it turns uncertainty into certainty of disaster. When children come home late for school, a catastrophizing parent may instantly jump to the conclusion that something terrible has happened, feeling unnecessary panic. The irony is that it leaves us less capable of handling the very challenges we fear. All or nothing thinking, the tyranny of perfection. The all or nothing thinking trap reduces complex situations into binary extremes, success or failure, good or bad, perfect or worthless. Cognitive therapy pioneers Aaron Beck and colleagues identified all or nothing thinking as one of the key thinking traps underlying anxiety and depression. This thinking trap can make setbacks feel decisive. For example, missing one workout means abandoning a fitness goal entirely. All or nothing thinking may also lead to avoidance by convincing us that if it can't be perfect, it isn't worth starting. This trap paralyzes us and keeps us stuck in a cycle of procrastination. Mind reading, filling in the gaps. Mind reading occurs when we assume we know what other people are thinking, often jumping to negative conclusions. People fall into this trap when their brains are constantly scanning for social threats like rejection or judgment. The irony is that we humans are notoriously bad at mind reading. A study conducted at the University of Chicago showed that people consistently overestimate how well they understood what others are thinking, particularly in ambiguous situations. In one experiment, participants were tasked with inferring a partner's emotions based solely on nonverbal cues. They guessed correctly only 20% of the time, which is no better than chance. Despite this, they rated their confidence in their guesses as high. This disconnect stresses the dangers of assuming we know what others think. Confirmation bias, seeking what we expect to see. Imagine a detective who, upon arriving at a crime scene, decides on a suspect and then seeks only evidence that confirms that suspicion, ignoring any clues that might point elsewhere. This is an example of a common thinking trap known as confirmation bias, where we see what we expect to see and ignore what we do not expect to see. In relations, confirmation bias can create emotional distance. I had an executive coaching client, Simon, who was hypersensitive to criticism. He tended to focus on moments that reinforced his self-doubt while overlooking acts of kindness or support. Over time, this bias chipped away at his confidence, weakened his connections with colleagues and clients, and left him increasingly lonely. Spotting the traps in action. The first step to breaking free from unhelpful thoughts is recognizing that they are just thoughts, not objective truths. By learning to observe them without judgment, we create distance that allows us to think thoughts together differently. We also gain the power to question and reframe them. Austrian psychiatrist Viktor Frankl, reflecting on his harrowing experiences in the Nazi concentration camps, articulated this idea beautifully. Between stimulus and response, there is a space. In that space lies our power to choose our response. In our response lies our growth and our freedom. Most of us face challenges that are far less extreme, but they are significant to us. A health scare, a car accident, a harsh comment from a boss, or a failed project. These moments may trigger automatic thoughts of despair that, when left unchecked, can trap us in survival mode. But as Frankl tells us, between the events and our reaction, there is a space where we have a choice. This space is where we decide whether to believe the thought that says, "I'll never recover from this failure," or to challenge it. It is where we can choose to align our response with our values. The more we practice pausing in that space, the more expansive it becomes, and the more we respond with intention rather than impulsive reaction. Excerpted with permission from the publisher Wiley from A Guide to Thriving, The Science Behind Breaking Old Patterns, Reclaiming Your Agency, and Finding Meaning, by John Rosenberg, copyright 2026 by John Rosenberg, all rights reserved. You've been listening to feeling anxious and overwhelmed? These mental traps may be to blame. From Oprah Daily. You are listening to Sun Sounds of Arizona with your volunteer broadcaster, Kelly Pyle, and this is the Women's Hour. How we lost 100 pounds. Seven people share their stories of weight loss with and without GLP-1s. What it really took to get healthy and stay that way, and how it transformed their lives. By Eileen Finan and Abby Rodell. Photographs by Tori Rust. Photograph by Amanda Friedman. Photograph by Amanda Friedman. Photograph by Josh Scott. Photograph by Katie DeZellar. This is from People Magazine. Samantha Milton and Charlie Torres Vega are strutting toward the camera, beaming, hands tightly intertwined. The two first met less than an hour before their People shoot, but quickly formed a bond, like warriors who've battled a common foe. We had this shared experience of being seen by the world in a way that was so minimizing, says Milton, 29. That was my experience being overweight. Says Torres Vega, 46, I understand what it's like to be made to feel unworthy. After facing long struggles with weight, the women lost a collective 360 pounds by moving more, eating less, and healthier, and, like a growing number of people, taking a weight loss medication known as GLP-1s. Those drugs have revolutionized the way we think about obesity as a chronic disease, says Dr. Sohaib Imtiaz, a board-certified lifestyle medicine doctor and chief medical officer for People Inc., who points out that obesity in America is declining after decades on the rise, largely because of GLP-1s. The medication is just one powerful tool for success. Here we celebrate seven people, each with a unique path to weight loss, who changed their lives. Says Milton, this feels like our moment to shine. Samantha Milton, age 29, height 6 foot, lives in Ashburn, Virginia, job content creator. About 5 years ago, Samantha Milton's life was in crisis. A mom of three, she just told her husband, who was struggling with alcoholism, that he needed to move out. The earth-shattering thought of parenting on her own made her confront her own health. Something had to change. She'd been conscious of her weight since first grade when she went on her first diet. After being diagnosed with polycystic ovarian syndrome at 12, she began a cycle of disordered eating and weight gain, reaching 400 pounds. Financially struggling, she didn't have time or money for a trainer or gym membership, so she started small. On her 4-hour car trips to take her oldest, who has autism, to therapy, she started choosing lower-calorie, higher-protein fast food options. I learned to adapt my old lifestyle. In 2022, she started posting about her progress and her fast food hacks. Her TikTok of her Chick-fil-A kale salad with chicken strips and honey hot sauce has 8 million views. Now a full-time influencer with more than 4 million followers and multiple endorsement deals, she maintains her 140-pound weight by eating fewer calories than she's burning most days, working out on a treadmill, and taking GLP-1 drugs, which she started 2 years ago and now microdoses at a monthly cost of $299, and which she says helps treat her PCOS symptoms. She's also lost 11 pounds through 4 skin removal surgeries, costing more than $100,000, paid for her by her social media earnings. A short time after they separated, she reunited with her husband. They renewed their vows this fall. He had his own health journey, giving up alcohol and losing 90 pounds. 5 years ago, it felt like my life was over. My husband and I have done a complete 180, she says. You can change your lifestyle in small ways that add up to big changes. And you can come out the other side of anything. Non-scale victories. I'm comfortable with people seeing my legs. That's huge. Even in high school, I was the maxi dress girl. I'm able to present myself to the world confidently and say, this is who I am. Charlie Torres Vega, age 46, height 5'4", lives in Boston, job paralegal and wellness coach. When it came time for her People photo shoot, Charlie Torres Vega knew the soundtrack she wanted playing, Walking on Sunshine. That's exactly how I feel. I'm walking in my purpose, and now my outside matches what was inward. As the camera clicked, she says, I cried. It was energy and joy being released in a big way. The mom of 4 lost her own mother, a happy, confident woman who was always heavyset, to cancer when she was 18 and feared dying young herself. Heavy all her life, she struggled to lose weight after her first pregnancy and had hypertension as a result. When she reached 235 pounds, I felt like death was threatening me because of my weight. She tried fad diets. I was so desperate, I saran wrapped my stomach and had duct tape around it to try and sweat it out. Portion control and high-intensity training helped her lose 30 pounds, but she repeatedly gained it back. She gave up rice. I'm from Trinidad, and it's part of our culture, and worked out 5 days a week, but still had high blood pressure. I tried my best not to cuss. What more could I do? In 2020, she had a vertical sleeve gastrectomy to reduce the size of her stomach. She reached her goal weight of 160 pounds, but worried about regain. So in 2022, she started the GLP-1 Wegovy. She kept up her healthy diet and exercise, and for her, side effects were non-existent. My body was so ready for this change. Now 135 pounds, she says, this is truly where my body wants to be. I feel healthier than I did when I was in my 20s. Obesity is a disease, but we can win, and this magic bag of tools helps you live again. Non-scale victories. I can do a headstand and a backbend. My skinny size 14 jeans from when I was 30 are now so big I can fit into one leg. I have 4 children that got to see their mom win. I'm not going to die young. Rose Vitetta, age 50, height 5'6", lives in Rossmore, California, job elementary school principal. 7 days after her mother died in 2022, Rose Vitetta found herself in the hospital after experiencing Takotsubo cardiomyopathy, also known as broken heart syndrome. The doctor told her, this was your warning. You need to lower your stress and start taking care of yourself. If you don't, the next one's going to kill you. Exhausted from her job as a principal and from caring for her mom and daughter, and overweight at nearly 300 pounds, she also developed a stomach ulcer. I wasn't taking care of me. I was a workaholic and not sleeping. I lived off of either not eating, drinking coffee all day, or getting fast food. A single mom, she began increasing her protein intake, eating smaller meals more frequently, and cutting out milk and juice. Fast food became a reward rather than a routine. If I want to be naughty, I get a kid-sized meal. She started walking and jogging 90 minutes daily, and she's taken cooking classes so she can eat more at home. I've learned how to cook Peruvian and Cuban food to make sure it's not boring. Now, 191 pounds and down from size 22 to size 8 jeans, I'm not at my ultimate weight goal, but I'm not sure that goal is realistic anymore. Instead, she says, it's about living without body aches, keeping up with her students playing kickball, and going Latin dancing in heels. At my heaviest, I really couldn't dance. Now I don't sit down, she says. And it's all about the fun moments, like going shopping and not having to stress over, can I find something cute? And realizing those extra large leggings are too big. It blows my mind. Non-scale victories. This summer, I wore a two-piece swimsuit. I have not worn a two-piece since I was in college. I can keep up with my 20-year-old. If I hadn't made these changes, I'd likely have ended up back in the hospital. Brian Anderson, age 40, height 6'1", lives in San Diego. Job, 911 fire dispatch supervisor. Growing up, Brian Anderson was known as Big B. All my nicknames were size-related. As a high school senior, he was more than 400 pounds and on a liquid diet. By 2019, he had reached his highest weight, 578 pounds. Every morning, I'd wake up and sit at the edge of the bed for a few minutes. I had to hype myself up to stand up because it was so much, he says. It's like wearing weight packs everywhere. I was tired all the time. Just walking to my car was a workout. The possibility of hitting 600 on the scale was terrifying. I had to do something. He began by cutting out soda and juice. Before, I could knock out a gallon of juice, no problem. The first 30 pounds dropped off, and then COVID hit. While the world was on pause, it felt like a green light to me. He began walking in his stairwell and doing outdoor workouts, and he tried a keto diet. I wasn't exercising before that, so even doing small workouts was super beneficial. He bought a copy of People with a cover story about weight loss. I was like, I'm going to be in that magazine. Over the next 5 years, he motivated himself with daily affirmations. It helps rewire your brain. Now, at 300 pounds, he's 75 pounds away from his goal. I've proven to myself that anything is possible, says Anderson, who is single and estimates he spends $1,000 monthly on training, healthy food, and supplements. As for fulfilling his vow to make it into People, I'm over the moon, and I want to shed a light for people who feel like they're in the dark. Losing 300 pounds is daunting, but find one thing you can commit to, and it will be life-changing. Non-scale victories. Getting in the car and just putting on my seatbelt. I couldn't wear my seatbelt for years. I used to have Brian's chair at work, the one I could fit in. I don't have a special chair anymore. Jake and Nick Beavenparshall. Jake, age 31, height 5'10", lives in Wyandamette, Michigan. Job, graphic designer. Nick, age 34, height 6'1", job, kindergarten teacher. In 2022, Nick Beavenparshall stepped onto a scale and it erred out. That was a breaking point. Like his husband, Jake, Nick had spent a lifetime gaining, losing, and regaining. In the wake of the pandemic, each of them weighed more than 400 pounds. "I'd kind of given up," says Jake. "I felt like it was my failure." In 2022, Nick started the GLP-1 Mounjaro through Weight Watchers Med Plus. Jake followed on Wegovy a short time later. "Once I started embracing that it's a treatable chronic disease, it shifted everything. I got rid of the guilt," Jake says. Adds Nick, "I can't describe how much it's changed my life. I can sit down and eat a meal until I'm full and then move on." The couple, whose medications were covered by insurance, both coped with mild side effects like stomach upset. "Pepto Ultra was my best friend," Nick says. "By increasing dosages slowly, along with eating plenty of fiber and protein, they saw success on the scale. Nick lost 130 pounds, and Jake lost almost 225. And off the scale, Jake got rid of his sleep apnea and is no longer pre-diabetic. And this summer, they took a trip that would have been unimaginable before. We biked 20 miles through Amsterdam. Previously, one flight of stairs would have taken us out for the day," says Jake. "They're looking toward an even bigger reward in the future." Says Jake, "We had talked about wanting a family, but the thought of running after a toddler exhausted me. Now we want to begin that journey." Non-scale victories. "Work is not exhausting anymore. I can go to school and play tag with kids on the playground, then still have energy," says Nick. "I went skydiving. It wasn't even on my bucket list because I had accepted I was too big to do it. I loved it," says Jake. Elaine May Dizadi, age 70, height 5', lives in Woodbury, Minnesota, job, retired educator. Elaine Bedizada knew her hard work was paying off when her teen grandson told her one day, "Grandma, I'm so happy you did this. You used to have trouble getting out of a chair." The memory causes the former teacher and principal, who's lost 114 pounds and kept it off for 2 years, to tear up. "I want to be there for my family and live life fully." Overweight since age 6, Medidizadeh had buried myself in work and binge ate after the death of her husband in 2000. By 2020, she was pre-diabetic and had high cholesterol and blood pressure. She didn't consider GLP-1s because I didn't see medication as a lifelong solution, and dusted off an old copy of the Mayo Clinic diet and changed habits. She stopped eating in front of screens, recorded calories, swapped Cheetos and chips for fruits and veggies, and started chewing more slowly. Now, 179 pounds, she dances, does water aerobics, and hikes, and she hopes to lose another 30. But she's not seeking perfection. "I'm not looking to be at the 128 the BMI chart says." She knows her husband would be proud. "He always wanted what was best for me, and he'd be so happy to see I'm taking better care of myself. Non-scale victories. I went to a dark skies festival and went on a night hike on a snowy trail. I travel as much as I can. I walked on cobblestone streets in France and hiked through a park and didn't think anything of it. Weight loss by the numbers. 37%. The percentage of adults, of American adults, considered obese. A decrease from 2022's high of nearly 40%, representing 7.6 million fewer adults who are obese. 1 in 8. More than 12% of adults in the U.S. say they've taken a weight loss injectable. Usage among women, 15.2%, is higher than among men, 9.7%. 2 times. The use of weight loss drugs has more than doubled in the past 2 years. Usage increased most among those aged 50 to 64. What's next for GLP-1s? A Wegovy pill is expected on the market in early 2026, with a Zepbound Mounjaro pill likely not far behind. Many who fear needles will consider GLP-1s, says Dr. Sohaib Imtiaz. Demand will skyrocket. But side effects, which can include nausea, diarrhea, and constipation, won't disappear. The pill is still potent. GLP-1 makers have also agreed to lower prices, which currently can be more than $1,000 a month without insurance. With coverage, the drugs can be free or up to several hundred dollars. The Ozempic effect, what to know? Dr. Sohaib Imtiaz, People Inc.'s chief medical officer on the widespread impact of GLP-1s like Ozempic, Wegovy, Mounjaro, and Zepbound. What does the rise of GLP-1s mean for the body positive movement? For people with true obesity, GLP-1s have been liberating. But the idea that people should lose weight because the drugs exist is harmful. These medications are not easy, cheap, nor appropriate for everyone. Many people can't access them, can't tolerate them, or don't want medication for weight. Society is at risk of reinventing body shaming in a new form. Why aren't you on the drug? Are they being overused? There is growing concern about cosmetic or non-medical use. Some people who wouldn't meet criteria for obesity treatment are using GLP-1s to lose 10 to 20 pounds, often through telehealth or compounding pharmacies as a cheaper alternative. What's the concern with compounding? Compounding pharmacies mix unbranded weight loss drugs using the active ingredients in GLP-1s. Some don't have good ways of producing or sourcing the medication. You just don't know what you're getting. Does microdosing work? Cost is a big driver for microdosing, an off-label practice of taking a reduced dose of the drug. But there's no clinical study showing that it helps lose or maintain weight. We are seeing interest in microdosing in the longevity space because of the overall health benefits. These medications are powerful, not only for obesity, but also for other conditions. Heart disease, diabetes, and sleep apnea are reduced. But there's not good research behind microdosing. Can people get addicted to GLP-1s? We've actually seen patients report they've stopped addiction. People stop shopping as much as they used to. They've reported smoking less, gambling less. But people can depend on the medications because we know when they come off, some people will regain the weight. Can you stop the drugs and not gain all the weight back? People can come off them. If you adopt good habits while on them, when your food noise is gone, it's easier to maintain your weight. If you're not doing resistance training and maintaining a good diet, you could also start to see cosmetic effects, like Ozempic face. With rapid weight loss, people can lose more muscle than fat. There can also be a reduction in facial fat that leads to gaunt appearance and exacerbate sagging skin. With the rise of GLP-1s, we are seeing a rise of cosmetic consults with plastic surgeons. You have been listening to How We Lost 100 Pounds from People. Thanks for joining us today for the Women's Hour. My name is Kelly Pyle, and I am your Sun Sounds of Arizona volunteer broadcaster. I hope you enjoyed the stories in our program today and will make plans to join us again next week for another interesting and entertaining collection of women's magazine articles. And don't forget, you can take Sun Sounds with you. You can stream as well as access shows on demand on our Sun Sounds of Arizona apps for both Apple and Android phones. Have a wonderful day and be sure to stay tuned to Sun Sounds of Arizona.